I see women who feel like they're losing their minds. And as you say, they're given antidepressants.
Yeah.
But actually, it, you know, what's going on is that their, you know, their hormones change. And the other thing, I suppose, is weight gain's something that starts to creep in. They can't manage their weight. Mm-hmm. And the thing about sleep is that it does disrupt their sleep a lot in some cases. And then it ends up making you feel tired. Then it ends up making you feel stressed. Then you end, you know, it's like it's this whole cascade. Welcome to the Wellness Breakdown, where we examine the latest health trends and we discuss how lifestyle and nutrition can truly change the way you live.
I'm Eve Kalinic. I'm a nutritional therapist, author and consultant.
And I'm Rose Ferguson. I'm a functional medicine practitioner and also an author.
Yeah, we haven't always been in this game. Rose spent most of her youth on international catwalks as one of the most iconic 90s supermodels.
Sure about that, but Eve had a very hectic career as a fashion PR, so we've definitely been there, we've done it, and there is no room here to preach.
Yeah, this isn't one of those waggy finger should do podcasts. We're here to dig into some of the wellness trends, figure out whether some of this stuff is just nonsense, and give our personal and professional opinions on some of it.
It amazes me that the global wellness industry is now worth over $5 trillion. So before you go out spending your hard-earned cash on the latest new thing, make sure you listen to the Wellness Breakdown first. The Wellness Breakdown is sponsored by Ancient and Brave, a mission-driven wellness brand with an award-winning range of collagen, MCT oil, and nootropic blends. From supporting menopausal symptoms to supercharging your energy, Ancient and Brave's products are pure, potent, and easy to make part of your daily, morning, or wellness ritual.
Personally, I find the True Collagen really easy to take, and I normally add it into my morning coffee, which is a habit that I already have ingrained. I'm never going to miss my morning coffee, and it's definitely a way to maintain consistency.
Yes, well, I love collagen too, and I've been using Ancient and Brave for a very long time, and I do use it with clients, I use it for myself. I do actually love the cacao blends. I love the collagen one with cacao. Delicious.
Yeah, and what really sets them apart is their sustainability. They're a B Corp as well as a member of the 1% for the Planet. This means donating 1% of all sales to environmental causes that protect the planet, because collective action adds up. So buying their products means you're supporting the planet too. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org to learn more. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of The Wellness Breakdown. This is quite a big topic and one that Rose and I have discussed, mostly because we see a lot of clients in this kind of phase of life, and it's something that actually has been getting a little bit more media attention, which is fantastic. But I still think, well, we still think there's quite a lot to be discussed around it. And so we thought this would be a really good episode to focus on.
Yeah. So you might already be going through it. And what we're talking about is the perimenopause and wondering about it. It's definitely something we do get asked a lot about. I would say that at my age, I probably am, things are starting to change. I notice my cycle slightly different than it used to be. And when you start noticing those things, I would say it's very symptom-led. The perimenopause is not the same for everybody. And so you just have to listen to your body. So, you know, so for me, I would say that I've noticed a change. So that to me tells me that the hormones are on the change, aka I'm in perimenopause. I mean, it's a really big subject, as you said, Eve, and I think our goal here is to pluck out the information, simplify it, because I think it is a minefield of lots of information, you know, and it's quite difficult for people to understand, and that does not help the situation when people are feeling, you know, when women feel like their bodies are changing and they don't really understand how to stop it. And some people have very extreme symptoms as well. So I guess, should we start with what is the perimenopause?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of alluded to it really well there, and thank you for sharing your own personal journey with it, because herein lies the thing, is that a lot of women don't really talk about it. I mean, particularly in my mum's generation, anything with the M word in was sort of, I mean, it was sort of like almost given like a shameful tag in a way. And I think it's great that now we are talking in and around it. And actually, perimenopause feels like a new thing, but actually, obviously, it's been with women for, you know, ever since we were first like created in a way. So I guess, yeah, what is the perimenopause? Well, really is that transition period, which can be so vast, like it's going to massively vary from one woman to another. Yeah, so it could be starting in your even mid-30s. Some women actually start their transition at that age. Typically, it's around sort of 40s, early to mid-40s. And it is that period where we are moving into post-menopause. So post-menopause or menopause is actually 1 year to the date of the last period, technically. Despite there being lots of blood tests actually that you can have done, the thinking around that now is that they're sort of a bit arbitrary in a way, and actually we should be listening more to symptoms rather than blood tests, because you might come back and your doctor might say, actually, you know, all your hormones are not in the normal reference range, but you have a whole load of these symptoms. So I think that's becoming less and less now used as a valid tool in a way.
Yeah.
I guess we should think about some of the symptoms that people might be experiencing, Ro. So you mentioned there that you've noticed like changes in your period. So
yeah, so the cycle length varies. So I think, you know,
yeah,
the problem is it's a fluctuation, which is why you get changing symptoms. They come, they go. Some months my cycle will be completely normal. Some months it will be a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
Some months it'll go back to being normal. So it's this transition period that throws up quite a lot of symptoms. This is where some people, I think mood's a big one I see, because I think that's confusing to people. It's obvious that there's a hormonal change because it's my cycle length is changing. But I think for some people, when they are feeling really depressed, or, you know, that isn't quite so clearly linked, you know, to your period or your cycle, monthly cycle, I think that's when people are going, what's wrong with me? I don't know what's happened to me. And it's very hard for people because they don't link it with potential change in their hormonal status.
Yeah, I think mood is one that often kind of maybe women go to see their GP and it might be, they might be given antidepressants or whatever. And actually it might be a bit more of a bigger picture thing that's happening there. But I think mood is a really key one. Also insomnia. I think that's quite another one that I've heard quite a lot. Maybe even some hot flushes or more obvious ones. I mean, that's probably more into menopause, but certainly perimenopausally, you can get things like that. Energy levels, you know, those can also dip.
Yeah. I mean, there can be aching joints, you know, that's the thing. It's the symptoms are so varied, which is actually probably why I would suggest you see, if you're going to a doctor, I would actually suggest you go and see a menopause specialised doctor. You know, I do think it's worth doing that. Because some people, I see women who feel like they're losing their minds. And as you say, they're given antidepressants.
Yeah.
But actually, what's going on is that they're, you know, their hormones changing. And the other thing, I suppose, is weight gain's something that starts to creep in. They can't manage their weight. Mm-hmm. And the thing about sleep is that it does disrupt their sleep a lot in some cases. And then it ends up making you feel tired. Then it ends up making you feel stressed. Then it's this whole cascade, just because because it can be absolutely chronic for some people, and it goes on and on and on. And they wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and then that's it. And it can be because they're having a night sweat that wakes them up, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you know, just thinking about hormonal perspective, the reason why we do get a lot of these symptoms in perimenopause and certainly into menopause is declining levels of estrogen. A lot of the things that we've been talking about, like aching joints, night sweats, vaginal dryness is another big one. Mm. I mean, it's not all about estrogen, it's actually not, but some of those symptoms can be attributed to that. So that's kind of what's happening. So that can start in perimenopause, like I said, because as we age, we produce less follicles, so we can be producing less estrogen. So it might even be on a more of a sort of subtle level that that's happening.
Yeah. You can have a month where you don't ovulate. Your cycle can feel completely normal, but it's called anovulation. And if you don't ovulate, you don't produce progesterone. And so then you've had a month. I mean, and I'm not saying you wouldn't know. It's not like you have a little flag going up saying there's no progesterone. But it's just all these things at play, all these changes that are happening are what creates the huge array of symptoms over perimenopause, because they're all just jumping up and down and jumping around. So, you know, we talk about cruciferous vegetables, for example, and how to help them. It supports the liver to help remove estrogen from the body, and everyone's like, well, why would you want to do that? We need estrogen, and we're losing estrogen. It's because there are these surges of these hormones, and you know, you want to help the body deal with those surges.
I mean, the hormonal system is so complex, like it really is. You know, it's more about a balance between estrogen and progesterone rather than trying to get more of one than the other, if that makes sense, and balancing it that way. Although obviously you know, that can be really beneficial in the kind of forms of, I mean, certain foods can help to mimic the impact of estrogen. That would be fermented soy usually is what I kind of recommend. A little bit of tofu here and there, fine. But things like miso paste and tempeh, yeah, tahini. But for some women, they find HRT is actually life-changing, you know. And that's really an individual thing. And obviously, we're not medical doctors here to be talking about HRT really in any, I mean, I certainly don't feel comfortable talking about that with any real professional opinion because I don't know enough about it. But I do know that clients have had huge game-changing differences in their health by using it, but it has to be so bespoke. And I think that's also changed quite a lot in the conversation around perimenopause and menopause. What do you think about that, Rose?
You know, I would never interfere with someone's HRT or tell them to take it or not to take it. But because I did a series on a menopause series last year, a menopause plan, we had a whole panel of actual experts in menopause. I had Dr. Naomi Potter on there. And what was interesting is that the feeling is that HRT, so for example, if you had low thyroid, you would take thyroxine. If you are diabetic, you take insulin. And so there is this interesting concept that rather than thinking of it as therapy, think, you know, it's like a hormone insufficiency, because they were basically saying, you know, when you get older, your estrogen declines or your progesterone declines. And so it was a way of replacing that. It's funny because for me, I have avoided taking exogenous hormones my entire life. I didn't ever take the contraceptive pill. I had a copper coil. I didn't want the Marina coil. And now I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll start lathering on estrogen. You know, we know that it's good for bone density, but it's only good if you continue to take it. It might be good for cognition in the long term. There are lots of things it might be good for, but it's quite early days because obviously there was that whole hoo-ha in the 80s where it was considered really bad and could drive estrogen dominant cancers. And, you know, and that study has been shown to be flawed in so many ways now.
Yeah. And I think it just comes back down to the doing your own research around this, speaking to a few experts, because it is such an individual thing in terms of HRT. Yeah. But I think it's really great that you've highlighted that, because there is still some hangover from that association. And there's completely different types of HRT as well. So you've got bioidentical HRT, which is much more, in inverted commas, natural. Yeah. So, you know, like creams and things like that. So there was the kind of one or two options, and now there's quite a few different ones. And so I think it's right to read around it.
Yeah.
I also think we need to just highlight the fact that HRT, however good it is, even if it's the most amazing body identical hormones, like, you can't just rely on that. And that's where we come in as nutritional therapists, functional medical practitioners, that are there to help support all of the other things. Like, I find in my practice, a lot of women get to the perimenopause or menopause, and they've actually not really thought so much about things like even managing their stress, alcohol consumption, big one, you know, what are they doing in terms of diet, and even some natural, more natural supplements that might be able to help with the transitionary period, you know, quite extensive studies on certain herbs and things like that. It does vary from individual to individual, to be honest with you, but there are some nutrients and definitely some lifestyle tips that are going to help with most of us, you know, in terms of this. So if we're drinking lots of wine, and everybody knows I like a glass of red wine.
I love that you hesitate. I hesitate. I'm quite scared with a perimenopausal woman in front of me to say, well, actually just anyone in front of me to say, can you cut down on the wine, please? I'm like, they're going to hate me.
I know, but I mean, yeah, of course it is, especially when we chuck in that you've got to take out caffeine as well. We were talking about on the previous episode, and on the adrenals, which actually, to be honest, that episode is very relevant for perimenopause, because the adrenals are essentially sort of need to, in some regards, take over from the ovaries in producing the small amounts of estrogen that we have postmenopausally. So you do need to actually think about your adrenals probably way before this part, or at least figure that into your perimenopausal journey. So kind of a lot of things we talked about in the last episode would be relevant.
Yeah.
You know, managing the whole stress picture, definitely. But then in terms of like nutrition, as we talked about at the start, in terms of symptoms, it's increased insulin sensitivity.
Yeah.
So anything we can do to help balance our blood sugar levels, which means having plenty of fiber in the diet, because it provides tons of antioxidants, which is anti-inflammatory. And as we age, all of us, whether we're in perimenopause or not, need to be mindful of that. But yeah, all of that fiber helps to feed all the microbes in our gut. So
yeah, you're absolutely right about fiber. Just looping back a little bit to the adrenal thing, What I think lots of women forget is that actually, you know, these changes are going on and you can have brain fog and, you know, anxiety and just some really not very nice symptoms. But then also life, if you were to remove the concept of perimenopause and look at women's lives in their 40s and 50s,
yeah,
most of them are really stressed out. Most of them are the busiest they have ever been. You know, a lot of people have children then. Most women are at work and they're at the top of their careers. I don't want to be generalizing, but it can be a very stressful time. On top of which, and I don't know, I mean, this is a bit of a contentious subject, but the idea of aging, I think, for women is very stressful. And so I think your body changing and, you know, then for a lot of people losing their period is, it's sort of like the mentality around it is you're losing your youth.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love now is, do you know who was on my menopause series? It was Nadia Narin.
Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah.
She's brilliant. She's an old friend, but she's an old school yogi.
Yeah.
She just was like, I am so excited. And you could see with every fiber in her body, she was like, I am so excited. It's like a new, whole new world. And it's not because she was not having a period and it's not because of anything, but she is so excited about the next phase of life. It was infectious listening to her. You were like, turn it on its head and look at it as a positive.
And it's great to hear other people's positive experience about it, because I do like the fact that people are being more open about it. Like, I don't even remember my mum even mentioning it at all. Like, in their generation, it was sort of very much hush hush and all of this. And now there's women coming out and saying, this is the best phase of my life. So yeah, to your point, there is obviously stress because, yeah, as you get older, there is lots of other things going on. But in the same regard, the children might have like left the home, and so they've got more time. Like, there's a fantastic fitness expert called Kate Roham. So she totally changed her life around and became this fitness coach. And she just released a really fantastic book. But it was literally because, almost like spearheaded by the menopause. There's so many amazing, inspiring stories like that, and like Nadia, who's obviously like flourishing and things like this. So the more, I guess, women can kind of share that experience. I mean, she also said something really quite sage as well. Because the symptoms are so vague, she said it's really important for women to not just assume that things are perimenopausal or menopausal.
That's very good.
Because it might actually be something more like serious. And so
women might
just ignore certain things. So just be mindful of that.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, the other thing is, then we're talking about the idea of a whole new phase of life. That second phase in postmenopause is bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So we spend as much time in postmenopause now as we do in premenopause, in, you know, menstrual cycles. So we better get on board with accepting that and thinking it's okay, because it's half your life. So
yeah,
but there are lots of things you can do to help the transition. Cruciferous vegetables are amazing. The phase one and phase two detox need slightly different things, but things like cabbage, I've got something called indole 3 carbonyl in them. And
well, here she goes about Brussels sprouts again.
Brussels sprouts.
I mean, I have any opportunity to mention fibre and gut microbes and raises on about Brussels sprouts.
They are out of season at the moment, you'll be glad to hear, so I won't. I'm talking about cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower.
No, you're right, though. Brassica vegetables are amazing. But yeah, supporting those detoxification pathways is really important. That's where there has been some research around NAC, which
say,
is a supplement, yeah, that helps to promote the production of glutathione, and it's really important, that detoxification process. But also, there's quite enough studies talking about its positive impact on insulin sensitivity. Although, as we always caveat every episode, like, don't just stop taking supplements because we're talking about them. It's just to kind of spark interest, and then definitely go find somebody that can help you with those, because we don't know what other medications or where there might be contraindications. But that one is a really interesting one. And then certain herbs, I know, have been I'm not herbalist, but there are certain herbs that anecdotally can help with some of the symptoms. Like ashwagandha is quite a famous one.
It's really effective for a lot of women, ashwagandha, and there are things like black cohosh. I tell you what has been quite effective for me, mm-hmm. and it's lovely when these really simple ones help, is sage. So, you know, if you've got a get sage leaf from the supermarket, if you're not growing it, otherwise
get, I love sage.
Just stick it in your tea.
Deep fried, though.
Yeah, exactly. On a risotto or some raviolis. Delicious. But, you know, if some people who were having hot flushes, I've had some women who have just started taking literally sage leaves in water and it's helped their hot flushes.
Definitely. We also should talk about fats, good quality fats in the diet for hormones. So, again, I think we have mentioned this on a few episodes now, but omega-3s, so oily fish is great for that.
Nuts and seeds.
Yeah, organic grass-fed meat can provide some really, you know, good quality fats, extra virgin olive oil.
Try people to drink less alcohol. I know that sounds really boring, but if you, you know, switch it. I'm thinking,
oh, we were
know.
Having such a lovely time there, Rose, talking about nuts and seeds and...
It really doesn't help your insulin resistant people. It really doesn't.
Definitely doesn't do anything for your cognitive health either, really, let's be honest.
And it doesn't help your sleep. This is someone who had 3 glasses of wine last night talking, by the way. So, you know.
Well, and you know, that's the thing, isn't it? Everything in moderation, because in small amounts, it also builds community and there's a lovely social aspect to it and all of that stuff. But yeah, you don't want to like be, you know, necking a bottle of wine every night.
No.
I would say this, definitely for most women, and it feels, especially if you're somebody that has not really done any strength resistance training, you might think that you're going to pick up a weight and be Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you do need to do some type of resistance training as you're getting older. I mean, I'm an advocate of strength resistance training for everybody, but particularly for women. So I find that sometimes they, for whatever reason, they've got some, I don't know, like negative association with it, but it can give you a really positive focus and you see your body changing in a way that is very different to cardiovascular exercise. And the reason why I'm saying strength resistance training is because it helps with bone density. And as we're getting older, that is an issue.
It's also really good for insulin sensitivity. So your muscles are really, they're like a really great metabolic organ. And if you have metabolic issues or you do have, if you are struggling with insulin resistance and you are gaining weight around the middle, strength training, it's brilliant for bone density, obviously, but it's great for lean muscle mass, which is something that else that goes out the window. But, you know, if you think about people who fall and break a hip, if you've got good, strong muscles, you're more likely to be able to stabilize. And hopefully those sort of accidents will happen less as you, and I'm talking obviously in much later life, but they are things to think about, because also when those hormone levels drop, it's sort of, it can be harder to build muscle. So if you start just building up now, and as Eve said, people always think they're just going to end up looking like Arnie. You're not.
Yeah.
And I know this because I did a challenge, which I love that. And I still do weights now. And I feel better. I feel much better for it. So
yeah, you feel stronger. And I think there's something in that that is also empowering.
One thing that we really should make sure that people understand is that checking your bone density is super important. In your 20s, 30s, wherever, get a baseline. And then you can then have a look at it again when you are in later life. And see, you know, so you can keep engaging it, because it's something that you can work really well with food and exercise and weight bearing. Sadly, I have quite a few clients who did DEXA scans when they were in perimenopause and found out that they were in quite serious osteoporosis state. And, you know, when you're like, oh, if only you'd done the test before. So what I think Eve and I would both agree is go get your bone density checked.
It is better to know earlier, for sure. And I know we talk about testing and like some of these tests can be a bit more pricier than others, but that one is a kind of, it is a key one, really.
Exactly. And then you can start bouncing on your trampette like my gran used to do when we did the trampolining episode. She used to do that. Oh, my bone density, dear.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so look, there's so much more we could talk about here, and it'd be nice to hear people's real life experiences. So both of us would love to hear from you guys and hear about your positive experiences, really, and negative. I mean, it's a safe space for you to kind of share whatever you're going through. So please do let us know, and any feedback on the episode, we really welcome. But we have got some emails here. So
yes. Hi, Rose and Eve. I'm a new subscriber to the podcast and I'm loving the new format. Your Christmas episode made me laugh so much. You both have amazing mothers. You should bring them back. I'm sure my mum would love to. Also, I love my matcha. Like you, Rose, I stopped drinking coffee a long time ago, but I really still love the smell of it. Matcha, however, gives me enough of a boost. Anna. Oh, well, I'm very glad. And actually, it's not bad. I did have our mums back. Maybe they should be a regular feature.
I think they should have their own podcast, actually.
Well, I know. My mum would be back in a shot.
Yeah, so blind. I've got another one here. Hi, Eve and Rose. I love your podcast. It helps me so much and learn so many things. You and Rose really break down concepts difficult for us, in brackets, common people, to understand and make it clearer. I'm going through a difficult period in my life, career-wise, and it's hugely reflecting in my body. Your tips are not solving all my problems, but they are really helping me on the little things. Thank you for sharing and keep doing it, Serena. So that's really sweet.
That's nice. Yeah, lovely. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. You know, if you want to follow the show, we'd love that. You can go to the show page and click on the plus sign. Also, we are on YouTube, the Wellness Breakdown Pod, if you want to see us in all our glory.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please share an episode with your friends. And don't forget, you can email us at info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk or message us on Instagram.
And we'll see you next week. I can't wait. See you then.
See you then.